as a marketer, we often spend a lot of time to prepare communication. We invest hours and hours to create emails. But what if these emails are not delivered? So that's the topic of the day. You're listening to the State of CRM podcast. I'm really pleased to welcome Lauren Meyer today on the show. Welcome, Lauren.
And thank you very much.
And so you are EVP of Product Marketing and Brand Strategy at Socket Labs. And you describe yourself as an email deliverability geek. So why that? What's exciting about deliverability? Tell us more about this passion.
Sure. I guess I'll start with what's not exciting about deliverability. Yeah. I don't know. No, just kidding. No. So I've been in email for about 15 years, but most of my career has been kind of really focused on deliverability and compliance and anti-abuse. And so it's just kind of become part of who I am as an email marketer. And it's always part of my strategy of just, you know, make sure that you're focusing on the metrics and following all the best practices and understanding what you're doing wrong based on the data. So I love it. I love that you feel like you're always solving puzzles or putting together some puzzle where there's a piece missing and you find the piece and then you're really excited. But those investigations can go in a lot of different directions. And I think that's what excites me, is there's always something new to learn or to discover.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's a good point to start with, that deliverability that's center and crucial for any strategy in emailing. For sure, if you spend all this time to prepare your communication, to do this beautiful message, creative, and put together pieces, your HTML, and it's not delivered, that's not worth the time. So what would be maybe, I know that's, there are a lot of different criteria and pieces, as you said, that's a big puzzle, but what's, in your opinion, are the main criteria or the main things to that better describe the deliverability and the different type of pieces to put together for deliverability?
Yeah, sure. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of different factors that are involved in kind of getting your messages to the inbox. And there's a lot of different reasons why your message might be going to the spam folder or why it's getting blocked. But some of the most common ones, and I want to give you kind of a, not to say a list here, but a little bit of a list, because there's some that are really essential and they kind of sort of overlap quite a bit. So the first one is some issue related to data quality. So I think, you know, most deliverability issues are boiled down to a problem with the data, right? So some of that is you're collecting people's email addresses without their permission. Sometimes it's because you're suffering from email, you know, sort of a list hygiene issues that are caused by not removing addresses that have either hard bounced or unsubscribed or mark your email as spam. All of these things lead to way too many negative reactions from recipients and not enough positive reactions. So I think, you know, taking care of your data is super important. It's not just about, is the address valid or invalid? It's, are those people on your list for the right reason? Did they actually sign up? Are they expecting to hear from you? Are they enjoying the content that you're sending? All of that stuff really matters, which leads right into that subscriber management, right? So if you really want consistent inbox placement, which is, I think, what we're all shooting for, that really requires you to take care of your mailing list from the point of sign up all the way through to when that recipient has unsubscribed or otherwise been removed from your list, right? This involves regular analytics that, you know, I've got to be looking at your email metrics to better understand what your audience likes, to improve your targeting and your segmentation, as well as just to perform that basic list hygiene that I kind of mentioned, right? All of this stuff really, really matters. And it kind of bleeds into this what I sort of refer to as like a lack of a holistic approach within your email program. And this is really when you don't have well-established goals and a clear way to measure the success of those goals, right? So this is one of those where you tend to see people kind of using misinformed tactics because they're chasing really high open rates when in fact their goal is actually higher conversions, right? So yes, you need to have high open rates in order to have conversions, but there's a different kind of content that you're going to be using, a different kind of segmentation. And all of that stuff really does impact your deliverability. And I get it, because marketers are juggling a lot, right? But this tends to kind of lead to sort of like tunnel vision, right? Where you're kind of reviewing each email that's been sent as sort of like a standalone email that either performs well or doesn't, and then you're kind of, you know, gauging it that way, instead of kind of seeing all of this stuff as like a larger workflow, a larger customer experience that really extends beyond the walls of your email marketing program, right? This is going to be kind of, you know, a disjointed or sort of confusing experience for your customers, right? Figure if they're getting hit from other channels such as SMS or push messages, if they're maybe hearing from different departments within your company, right? If you're the marketing team and you're sending newsletters, but they're also getting billing statements from your finance team, they're maybe hearing from the sales team, they're getting something from the events marketing team that's sending different communications. So all of that stuff really needs to be factored in and to kind of create that cohesive experience for people. And when you don't have that, I think that tends to kind of fall into those cases where you have really high spam complaints, just low open rates in general, people that are just churning, you know, they're unsubscribing from your list because it's just way too much volume and they kind of just can't handle that. So really step back, consider like the goals that you're trying to accomplish with each specific mail stream, right? Like if you've got a welcome program, that has a very different goal than something that's meant to get like a free user to upgrade to a paid account, right? If you're just trying to get somebody to book a sales meeting with your sales team, all of that stuff has a different goal, a different KPI that's attached to it. So make sure that you're able to measure that, but really specifically, what's the point of that email, right? Because if you're going to include a whole bunch of content that's kind of irrelevant to the fact that you really just want someone to log back into your user interface, you're kind of missing the point of why that email is being sent, right? I think in retail, this is a lot more straightforward because it typically tends to be you're just trying to drive a purchase to a website or something like that. But really just, yeah, consider what that goal is with your email program. So I know a lot of this stuff is kind of, you know, it's like, well, great, you're not giving us any real tips, but I think this is where it really depends on having that good data quality, having recipient engagement that looks favorable to the mailbox provider that owns that mailbox, right? If you've got a Gmail user, they're watching all of this stuff. They're seeing who's marking mail as spam, who's, you know, dragging it to their trash or just never, ever opening it versus people that are opening and clicking regularly and forwarding that message onto friends or starring it as important, doing that kind of stuff, right? So all of this, and the last one I think I'll mention is just people that kind of skip those fundamental steps. This tends to be important where you're like, oh, whatever, that's a best practice, but I think we can get by without it. So consider that there are all these different factors that determine whether your message goes to the inbox or the spam folder, but they kind of all add up. It's sort of like a scorecard. So it's like, okay, do you have authentication in place, right? That's one small part of the equation. And it's like, okay, do you probably have good list collection practices? And they're going to judge that based on, are you sending to a lot of invalid addresses? Are you generating a lot of positive engagement versus negative engagement, things like that. So it really is just kind of nailing those fundamental steps, like having good infrastructure, you know, getting your list collection set up properly, having a sign up form that has really good expectation setting in terms of what people are going to receive from you and why. I think, you know, all of this is super important. And I get that's frustrating because I've pretty much listed just about every reason why you might have a deliverability issue. But I think it really is just a matter of figuring out what's important for your business, right? Again, the goals of your business, but also like the places that you feel like you can cut corners, right? If it's okay that some mail goes to the spam folder for you because you make a lot of money when you send those aggressive mailings, go for it. But just understand that you might be suffering in the spam folder for a couple of days after that while you kind of try to fix your reputation.
Yeah, great. I mean, and I like the fact that you mentioned, I mean, all the aspects you mentioned are all almost tied to the relationship brands will build with their consumer, their customers. And that works for B2B or B2C that same way. And most of the time, marketers in email, and when they talk about deliverability, they think that deliverability is a technical matter at the beginning of the setup. So mm-hmm. We hear a lot about, oh, my SPF, DKIM, DMARC, everything is set up correctly. I followed the recommendation from my ESP for the warming up my IPs, and mm-hmm. now it's done. This process is done. I can do whatever I want with my database,
right?
And that's not true. That's the first pieces of the puzzle. Yes, mm-hmm. if you don't have that right and you don't put that correctly together, it won't work. But that's just the right. beginning. So all the technical aspects that we see everywhere on recommendation blogs, on discussion with your ESP. How many times I have discussion with clients saying that, oh, we are following the recommendation from Adobe, from Salesforce, from whatever the ESP. They are not bad, but that's the first part of it when it's the technical setup for them, which is mandatory to achieve correctly. But then that's your responsibility to have, as you said, a good practice, a good understanding, and not having like 10 emails going out to the same person the same day with a lot of different purpose. I mean, all of that, and we'll get into a little bit more detail on the impact or what can be a good practice to avoid any issue. And you mentioned that the other aspect is you were mentioning positive action and negative action from the final user receiving the message. And that's something that, as a marketer, we have control on. Mm-hmm. Because if we find the right message, if we are not pushing too much messaging, and we'll come to the batch and blast practice and the mass emailing practices. But if you are listening to your customer and you want to build a relationship because you want them to react, listen to them a little bit more than just sending and sending more and more.
Yes, totally agree.
and that's just making me jump to the topic of what is the impact or what is I think the positive impact of applying a segmentation strategy, a targeting strategy in your practices versus a batch and blast. I would like to hear you about that, and especially maybe with a note on the volume, because we also know that for a deliverability purpose, you can't have big spike of volume. That's right. You need to be consistent in the volume you are sending. So that doesn't mean that you can't go up and grow up your volumes or slow down at for some period and go back up, but you can't do three full bays one day and during 3 weeks sending nothing, and then you'll go back to blast millions of people at once. I mean, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign of health of your database, good management, and all you mentioned. But okay, so what's, in your opinion, what are the benefits of having a segmentation, a targeted strategy versus batch and blast first?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, it really is, you keyed upon this and I touched upon this as well, but that idea of the recipient reaction is so incredibly important. So, there's all these different destinations that are doing anti-spam filtering differently, and they're all looking at different, metrics and the Gmails of the world are very complex, whereas other ones maybe are looking at a handful of key signals to try to determine what their users like or don't like. But at the end of the day, it really is, if they see a lot of spam complaints, that's a problem. If they see low opens and clicks, that's probably an indication that you're kind of over-targeting. So they're looking at different metrics than what marketers have, but essentially their goal is, do we think that people like this mail or do we not, right? So they're just really looking to kind of identify that. And I think, consistency is truly key. And this is true of everyone in this equation, right? So recipients love consistency. They don't want to hear from you 3 days in a row and then not for 3 weeks, right? Yeah. Mailbox providers also don't want to see you, sending multiple times, per day or every single day and then taking a break, because they're looking to be able to predict whether the mail that you're sending is from you, first of all, right? They're looking out for very malicious stuff. Like I think, a Verizon Media Group mentioned some data that was about 90% of the volume that they send that they receive on any given day is malicious, like hardcore, it's phish, it's malware, it's something that you don't even want to know exists. And then, that last remaining, maybe 10% is the stuff that they're trying to figure out if it goes to the inbox, if it goes to the spam folder, if it gets blocked, right? So within that, your goal really is to look different than the spammers. Your goal is to just look as legitimate as possible, as trustworthy as possible, to let everybody involved get used to the fact that you typically send three times a week and this is the volume that you're sending to. So I think the segmentation helps because it lifts those levels of positive engagement that the mailbox providers are looking for. And it also makes it less likely that you're going to have a day where you just are flooding, a ton of user complaints for them to deal with. So I think it's really just watching all of that stuff, but keeping in mind that consistency is key. And you mentioned as well that deliverability does not end at the end of your IP warm-up or your warm-up program, right? Like it is a moving target. I often refer to this kind of like a credit score. Think about it, like you could have the best credit score ever, but if you stop paying your bills and you start racking up a bunch of debt and you're kind of avoiding all of that stuff, your credit score is going to tank overnight, even if it's been great for years. So you really need to kind of think of this as you're continuing to kind of build that relationship. Same, you know, you can have a politician who's been the most moral person ever, but all it takes is one scandal and all of a sudden his reputation is completely ruined and he has to kind of build it back before he can kind of get back into the inbox, if you will, right? So I think it's just think about it as that ongoing process. And similar to, you know, if you're going to have a big ramp up period going into, you know, the retail holiday season, think about that like a warm-up plan. You know, if your volume is going to triple, don't just jump that overnight. Like try to, consecutively build your way up, again, giving everybody involved just more understanding, more predictability about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and the fact that you're legitimate.
Yeah. And so two thoughts are coming in mind. That one is talking about this ramp up and if you anticipate to, or you want to send more volume for a certain period, you can anticipate that. And by the way, if you do, you divide this volume, this global volume, among the different days during the week, you are safer than just doing spikes. And so you ramp up progressively days after days. That's smaller volumes every day, but at the end of the week, you reach a threshold that will be able to maintain for days or for the spike, the season spike here you want to do. And that's a better way. And so this kind of strategy of sending more messages to smaller volume, but more often and more consistently, will prevent you to be subject to some penalty or drop or in authorization. I would say authorization from the inboxes, but that's almost that. That's just, your derivative plummeting to zero because you just do a big spike of volume. The other thing I wanted to mention is one of the still famous practice for marketers is to send a message the morning and resend the same message to non-openers the afternoon. Based on everything you said, that's not a good practice. I mean, the email provider, the inbox, look at reaction. So if you already send the message and your target, the user, did not open the message, and you are sending the same message, with the same, maybe sometime marketers change the subject line, fine, but the entire HTML is the same. So Gmail, I'm saying Gmail, but any email provider will see that it's the exact same email. There was no reaction in the morning. Guess what? In the afternoon, the inbox placement will decrease. So maybe you will gain some additional opens, but I mean, that won't be a good performance ever. So that's right. Something that's, based on your explanation, that I wanted to highlight that, saying that that's not a good strategy. That's not a good strategy for your business, neither for your the health of your database, neither for your data availability. So that's, just stop doing that and replace that with targeted messages and messages that are relevant, where you will get positive action, positive reaction, instead of keep pushing and repeating the same message until death of the user, almost until they then subscribe because they are just bored by all the content you are sending. And if they are not reacting, stop continuing to send the same message.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I'll throw out a tactic, an opposite tactic that Jeannie Jennings actually shared. She's from Email Optimization Shop, and she's also associated with Only Influencers. And she had mentioned that when she sees, you send an email in the morning, you send it to your entire, that entire user base, instead of resending to the people who haven't reacted, resend to the people who opened but didn't click through or didn't convert, because those people have already kind of raised their hand and showed a little bit of interest in the content you're sending. So if you can kind of reinforce that, and again, don't just send the same exact content, but try to kind of reinforce like, hey, we saw that you were interested in that, so let's give you a little bit more information, or let's use a different subject line that maybe pulls you in a different call to action. So I don't have any numbers to share, unfortunately, but I know she's had great success with her customers in doing that and seen really awesome returns. So that's definitely something I would try instead of just continuing to send to those people who are not engaging with your brand.
And that makes, when you describe it like this, that makes sense, because that's I mean, listening to the reaction to the other person. So that's, yeah. I mean, human to human, a discussion, you say something, there is an answer or no answer is an answer. And you react to that differently. And your next message is need to be adapted to that. Great. Maybe, I mean, the next part, maybe I want to focus a little bit more on something we touched base a little bit on about IP warming. And
sure.
The thing that's I, at least, I mean, for years, heard from providers and seen with a lot of marketers, when they are in this process of warming up their new IP, that can be for because they are moving from a provider to another or because they had an issue or they just bought private IPs and that's fine. You're warming up that. Often the tactic they use is you need to show positive reaction with this new IP. And so you only select people who engage recently with your communication. So you will select, I don't know, the top 2% of recent openers and clickers. And then you the next day or 2 days later, you expand that to a little bit more. And you move from 1,000 to 5,000 to 10,000 to so on and so forth to 100,000 people in your database. 2 million people in the database, but this is based on email KPIs. And I know that when we discussed about the topic, that you were mentioning something really interesting on the fact that if you do that, at some point, only the people the people you will be adding up are only the people unengaged or less engaged. So you are no longer proving positive sign. You are most likely adding people who are not reacting positively, but negatively on your communication. So, what would be an advice an advice to improve this process of IP warming?
Yeah, well, and I want to call out specifically because you mentioned IP warm up, but I want to call out the fact that warm up is kind of no longer just about IPs because now a lot of the mailbox providers care about the sending domain as well, even the sender address level. So, you know, Gmail is looking at the difference between, let's say, you know, marketing@socketlabs.com or transactional@socketlabs.com. Like they can tell the difference between those mail streams, right? So I think it's important to remember that it's not just if you're switching IPs or ESPs, it's also if you're switching to a brand new sending domain, still take that through that same process of thinking about the destinations you're sending to and limiting the volume, like Benoit already mentioned, in terms of just, you know, ramping up slowly so that mailbox providers can really get used to the volume you're sending. And I think, you know, the strategy is going to be different depending on what your ultimate goal with that list is, right? I've talked to some customers where they're like, I've got a list of 10,000 and I need to send to every single person on that list, right? So if you start with, as you mentioned, you know, kind of like the best of the best, you're going to have a really awesome sender reputation on the first couple of days. And as you work your way through that kind of worse and in more inactive data, your reputation is just going to cool off, right? So you built this awesome thing and then you just kind of immediately sort of start to damage it. Whereas if you're like, I've got 10,000 people, but I'm willing to cut the ones that maybe don't show good signs of life. So I think that's where you could start with that best of the best data and work your way back a little bit through kind of like the less engaged users, but track your performance really closely. Be on the lookout for where you start to see where the open rates are dropping off, where the spam complaints are ticking up, just where you're just it's something where you see a notable difference. Or if you see some sort of pushback from one of the mailbox providers, if you see more bounces coming in suggesting that you've got a bad reputation or there's something spammy about something, really pay attention to all that data to kind of go through that process as quickly or as good as you can. But I think that really is, even after that warm-up process technically ends, you're not really done. You still need to manage your reputation the same way. So you can't just start blasting to all those inactives and be like, oop, I'm good. I had a good warm-up 3 months ago. You know, it really is just that consistent, that reinforcement of I am a good sender. I'm doing the right things. I'm not engaging in spammy activities or things that look spammy. It's really important, but I think as well, you need to kind of, when we're talking about warm-up, I don't want to kind of overlook the importance of planning ahead. Like I think as marketers, we get really excited about like brand new projects and we're like, woohoo, let's stand it up as quickly as we can. But we kind of forget about the fact that, you know, if like, let's say, for example, if you want to use a lookalike domain, because going through corporate red tape to get, you know, SPF and DKIM set up on your top level domain is going to be challenging. So you're like, well, let's use this other one that's like bank-offer.com. That's going to look like fish, or, you know, it's going to lead to fish reports from your recipients. Mailbox providers are definitely not going to like it. Also, if that domain is brand new, they are simply going to see the fact that it's a brand new domain compared to the fact that you've been in business for 10 years and your top level domain is very well established. And they're going to see that alone as a red flag. And again, they're going to question, is this actually you? Or is this some spammer or fraudster who's trying to pretend to be you with a lookalike domain? So I think it's really just get yourself set up as well in advance as you can. Really think about, again, the goals of your email program. Set up a sign-up process that really aligns with the expectations that you want to set in terms of what kind of emails are they going to get? What's the goal? Like, what are you actually, why are you getting these people to sign up, right? So it's really just kind of planning all of that stuff ahead of time. Obviously, sometimes you're going through IP warm-up on a list that exists and it's not such great quality, and that's really painful. But I think that's really get on board with the fact that you might need to cut some of those unengaged users from your list, or just kind of send to them a lot less than you have been in the current state, at least until you get your reputation to a really solid place. And then maybe mix them in a little bit more. But again, watch the data really closely all the time just to make sure that you're continuing to see good performance.
Yeah. Thank you for this feedback and sharing that with everyone. That leads us to the fact that everything about email marketing is about common sense. Building a relationship and even deliverability. There is a technical aspect of it, but it's influenced by the relationship you build. And if you have bad practice, you are not respecting the consumer and the listening to what they say or not say, you will get penalized. And that's like the law of the email, and that's applied by every provider. But if you cross the line, don't complain that they are punishing you. That's just you are not respecting the health of your database and what your consumer are, the way they are reacting. So that's just nothing surprising. A lot of common sense, but unfortunately not respected enough by a lot of marketers.
Yeah, I think a lot of times especially real email marketers who are not thinking about deliverability, who maybe don't even know that that's a word until they start to get blocked or something, they're thinking about the good email that they're sending. And they don't think about the fact that, again, that 90% of the sheer volume that's coming to a mailbox provider is hardcore, not legitimate. So it's not a personal decision if you're going to the spam folder. It really is, you're doing something, you're sending something, your sending activity is looking like a spammer in some way, shape, or form. And I think that's, you mentioned the technical bits. Those are super important. Think about them almost, if you want to get into your local pub, you need to have a form of ID perhaps to get in the bar, right? That's sort of what the authentication piece is. It's sort of like, I'm legit, I'm of age to be drinking, I'm doing whatever. But then it's like you get in the door, because spammers authenticate too, right? People have fake IDs too. Yeah. People are terrible human beings. They could be really kind of, just getting all aggressive inside the bar, but they still have an ID, they can still get in the door. So I think it's just really separating yourself from the spammers by engaging in best practices, following the reactions of your users to understand what might lead a mailbox provider to think that you are sending mail that somebody doesn't like.
Yeah, and maybe to finish the discussion, this episode today, we all heard about this announcement from Apple 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago consumer privacy center in their strategy, and the impact on the future updates of their iOS on email tracking and the pixels. What can be the impact for Apple users in your database with these updates on deliverability, measurement, and future strategy, and what you need to what you should do as a marketer right now based on this modification coming up soon.
Yeah. So I think that probably the biggest, most meaningful changes to email marketers are the fact that we're going to have less data about open activity. So we're no longer going to be able to track unique opens that are related to, you know, the email sending activity that we're doing, that makes it a little bit harder for us to do things like subject line testing. Send time optimization might not be a thing that's going to work so well. Engagement targeting based on the open activity specifically is one that's going to become a little bit harder because we won't have as good of as accurate information about opens, right? And we're also not going to have access to geolocation data that tells us where recipients are located when they're opening emails. So figure, you know, if you're trying to guess when to send to someone, again, that send time optimization, you might think I'm on the East Coast because I used to live on the East Coast and that's what your data tells you within your historical stuff, but I'm in California now. So you might want to send 3 hours later, you need to follow it, right? So that information won't be there. But I think this is one of those, like, you know, really, it will make it a little bit harder for people that are engaging in those activities. And for me as a deliverability person, I love to look at open rates at the destination level, because let's say if your open rate is 30% at Gmail and Yahoo and all the other destinations you send to, but it's like 6 or 10% at Hotmail, that's a very clear indication of a spam folder placement issue at Hotmail, right? So that's really powerful data. And I'm also using it on the compliance side to maybe spot, you know, problematic senders who are sort of hiding on one of my shared IP ranges, because, you know, they have very low spam complaints, but they also have really, really low open rates. And so that could be an indicator of over-targeting or poor list collection, right? So it does kind of impact us in bad ways, but I think it's also just something to think about, because this is the way that the industry has been going for a while, right? GDPR has already reached its two-year anniversary. You know, it's just the writing has been on the wall. So I think it's embrace the privacy that we're trying to give back to users. Understand that we're doing this for, well, not we're, because I'm not part of Apple, but the idea here, the sentiment is to give users more control over the, you know, what information is shared broadly about them. And so I think this is one of those, you know, I've been saying this for years, deliverability, focus on all of your metrics. Don't just focus on your open rates, focus on the clicks, the conversions, the unsubscribes and complaints. You could also look at data that's outside of the actual email channel. Like, so maybe, you know, you can see if there's an increase in traffic on your website after you hit send on an email, or you see more conversions and you can tie those directly to that. So there's a lot of other data points that you can use. Email really is just one of them. Open rates are just one of them. So I think it's really just about, looking at the full picture, which is just something that we've all
and that's a perfect way to wrap up the episode. If we take back or listen back everything you just said, and we remove the fact that it's for deliverability, it works just mm-hmm. for business, building a relationship in business. Yeah. All of these points are valid too. And deliverability is just one aspect of this relationship you build with your consumers and customers. Right. And losing one metric, that's a shame for some aspect of the relationship. But if you only rely on that, that's maybe something that you need to change right now, because you have just not a full, a complete view of the business you are managing with your consumer, and I mean, that's not the end of the world at all.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, email geeks are resourceful people, and we've been innovating in email for years. And you know, even some of the stuff that's come out of you know, what you can do based off of open rates has just been innovated based on what data was available. So if we don't have that data point available, you better believe they're going to start innovating on other ways to get email marketers more information that helps them make their decisions. So I think, you know, if nothing else, you could start some progressive profiling to ask people specifically what they want or when to send or what kind of things you can send. But I think, really just follow the other data points. This is not going to be the end of the world, even though I feel like maybe, you know, it feels that way right now, but it's going to be fine. I promise you.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lauren, for being with me on the show today. I hope that everyone in the audience enjoy the discussion about the deliverability topic. There are lots to cover, a lot more to say about it. So don't hesitate to react, in the comments, to contact Lauren on LinkedIn directly, follow her. I know that you're posting a lot of content and making a lot of participation in different webinars and posting them on LinkedIn. So that's really helpful for everyone in the email industry. So don't hesitate to follow Lauren, to like, share all this discussion, and I hope that we'll see you in the next episode. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks so much.